Come on down to Stone Cold Creamery, where we got a dozen flavors for your little sweet tooth. Do we got vanilla? Oh, can I get a hell yeah? You're going to love my rocky road, and that's the bottom line. You can smash in some cookie dough. What? You can smash in some brownies. What? We even got some gummy bears and some little sprinkles that you can stomp in like a mud hole and walk it dry. Now get on down to Stone Cold Creamery. Beer's always on tap. And let's go ahead and begin the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. Because Stone Cold said so.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host Napier and via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Bonus
Travis. Two episodes of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program this week. That's right. Not one, but two. This being the live edition.
The Travis has been doubled.
That's two for the price of one, so that's two for nothing.
Phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND, or WFOD show on Skype. We have one hell of a program for you this evening. Joining us a little later from the band Black Daughter, Mr. Philip Cohen, at Daughter Black on Twitter. Napier, how are you? How are things? I haven't seen you since yesterday.
Sore from hockey.
I posted your beefy hockey video on our Facebook page. If you want to watch Napier without a shirt on, stop
or leggings,
go on over to the WFO Dicks Facebook page. Check that out. It's a sight to behold, let me tell you.
What if a person doesn't want to watch that and also doesn't want to expose other people to that? Is there like a poll to say, pull that off the internet?
Nope.
If you never want to see another Napier hockey video again, make sure to let us know at WFO Dicks on Twitter.
Or WFODshow@gmail.com.
Guys, the big news in podcasting this week. There's beef.
Beef's going around.
Yeah, there's beef. Beef in the podcasting world. Yes, sir. You know I am a fan of all things pod beef. It's among my favorite things. And there's a big one this week. Rowdy Roddy Piper apparently has pod beef with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Holy shit.
That's what happens now when you stop wrestling, you start a podcast. Like, all of them have one now. There's a lot of wrestlers that then, like, cut promos on a microphone. But this is a shoot. This is not a work. It's not kayfabe. Apparently, Rowdy Roddy Piper had a podcast episode where he had a Steve Austin impersonator, and they were goofing on the Texas Rattlesnake.
Was he doing a good impression?
It wasn't great. It certainly wasn't as good as the Steve Austin impression you may have heard at the beginning of this episode.
What do you mean impression? That was the real Stone Cold Steve Austin doing a promo for our up-and-coming ice cream joint.
You know, it's funny. I asked a guy to do that for us like months ago, and like because of, you know, issues in his personal life, it took him a while to get to it, and it just worked out this week that there's a big pod beef story that it all ties in. It all works out for us in the end, you know.
That's almost like serendipity.
I know it is. It's perfect that it happened when it did. But So the Steve Austin and Rowdy Roddy Piper are apparently on the same podcast network. And when Rowdy Roddy Piper did his Stone Cold Steve Austin show, Stone Cold got mad and he asked that the podcast be taken down. And so it was like within a few hours of going up, they took it down. And so Rowdy Roddy Piper moved to a, like a different network and posted it again.
What did the Midnight Rockers say on their podcast?
Do the Midnight Rockers have a podcast?
I would assume so. If all of these wrestlers are already at, like, where's Goldberg? What is he saying?
I used to love Rowdy Roddy Piper. He was one of my favorites.
You remember when he was all out of bubblegum?
Was he? Oh, yeah, he came to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
But there was no more bubblegum? I guess he's going to have to chew ass.
He ran out. He ran out of bubblegum.
Were you a wrestling guy, Travis?
I was when I was younger. My cousins actually, I don't know, I was probably 8, 9 years old, and I was really into like Hulk Hogan and shit. So like when he got crippled by Yokozuna, you remember that?
Yeah.
Like he was in the hospital during that. Like that was my highlight of wrestling.
Was Yokozuna the guy that got guys in the corner and then smothered them with his butt?
Yeah, he was like the sumo dude. Yeah, he just smothered dudes.
That was a dick move.
But I think didn't he jump off the ropes and like crush Hulk Hogan before he became Hollywood?
You remember when the earthquake killed Jake the Snake Roberts' snake by sitting on it?
Motherfucker.
And then Jake the Snake like opened the bag and saw that his snake was dead. And like he buried his face in his hands and he was so sad that his snake was dead. Roberts should have won a daytime Emmy for that performance.
Didn't he come back next Saturday and kick his ass though? Like it was always like he left you hanging. Like you'd be like, oh my God, he's so pissed off. I can't wait till next Saturday. And then next Saturday he's just fucking kicked his ass.
Why don't the wrestling guys ever get nominated for Emmys?
They should.
I mean, they've already acknowledged that it's entertainment and that they're putting on little characters. I mean, like, these guys are dedicated. They go out there and they bust their ass to get like big and strong so that they look good in their little outfits. And I mean, they go out there and they cut promos and they do a lot of physical stunts and stuff. Why aren't we nominating wrestlers for Emmys?
It's still a sporting event though. Like they want to be recognized as a sporting event. And like I said, my cousins were really big into it. And I think one of them really still is. But I actually had one cousin who was so into wrestling, like collected all the figures and drew pictures of the wrestlers. He actually, once he graduated high school, went to like wrestling school. Like he wanted to learn how to be a wrestler because he was like so in- and this is like kind of a tall, scrawny dude. And you don't typically see many of those guys in the wrestling ring. But he was so into it, he wanted in. And he actually wrestled a few, like, super amateur matches. But he was just too damn small to get into the main arenas.
You gotta beef up.
You do gotta beef up. Shoot some roids, right?
I guess you could like, be one of those luchador guys and do the, like, flippy-aroundy stuff.
Do you have to go to Mexico for that, though?
I don't know. Napier, how come you never got into wrestling? You're an imposing fella. You're a big guy.
I always thought it was goofy.
You were never a wrestling guy?
No, but I had a whole bunch of buddies.
Even when you were a kid, were you into it? Never?
No, my buddies really liked it. They did the whole backyard wrestling thing where they, you know, would get lifelong, horrible, debilitating injuries by jumping on trampolines and hitting each other with fucking folding chairs.
That was typically what it was. They fought on trampolines.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one of them get hurt, and then their dad would say, okay, we're breaking up the fucking trampoline.
What did they do? Did they do anything to the trampoline, or was it just a trampoline? Because I'd imagine it'd be hard to, like, walk around on that and do anything to any certain...
Yeah, that's how you get broken legs.
Successful.
Sometimes they set fire to the trampoline, so instead of, like, a cage match... You had, like, a fire match. So I remember some of the original backyard wrestling stuff. They would just, like, pour gasoline on the edges of the trampoline and light it on fire. So you had to, like, complete the match before the whole goddamn trampoline was in flames.
I wrestled my neighbor in a trampoline of fire.
No, one of my buddies just put down cardboard boxes all over the trampoline. To make it look like it wasn't a trampoline.
Yeah.
And that made it even slipperier. It just fucked everything up. And one of my buddies actually broke his ankle when he fell through the side of the trampoline.
Even when I was younger and I didn't feel like I was going to get broken just by taking three steps in any direction, trampolines always scared the fuck out of me because one wrong move and you're paralyzed forever.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like, you jump one way to the right, and then you're way up in the air, and then you fall down on metal or on the lawn. That's bad.
Yeah.
My brother what's the joy of jumping up and down? I mean, that's not... I went kind of high, and then I come back down, and then I go up again. Then you get tired of it, and then you have this big thing in your backyard, and what are you going to do then?
I'm fine with the jumping up and down. It's when people decide that they're better at it than you are, and they decide to do some flips or jump off roofs into trampolines. And
they start to get fancy.
Yeah, they start to get fancy. It's like, no, just jump up and down, because that's what it's for. If you're going to do a flip and you miss, something is going to get fucked up.
When we used to go over to my cousin's house, what they do is they try to time their jumps to where they would jump, and then when you got down, they were coming up so that you super jumped.
That sucks. That fucking buckles your knees. That hurts.
Yeah, right?
No, if you don't do it right, that your knees take the beating.
Guys, let's outlaw trampolines.
No, it's fine now. They got those little, like, foam nets that they place around them now.
Those nets are such... There is no part of that net that is going to stop a 200-pound dude from falling to the ground.
Well, it's not supposed to be you, Travis. It's supposed to be little kids.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, like, little kids or women.
Yeah, you don't get caught in the net. You just don't get on the trampoline. You're too old.
And too fat.
But the little kids have plenty of room to jump around. It's big, fat Travis who's coming along that needs something to stop him from hitting the really, really hard ground. My boy has fallen off of a rock climbing wall. He's 3 years old. I think he was two at the time.
Why don't we just start putting rock climbing walls in people's backyards?
I have one.
Do you?
Yeah, touche.
Wow. It's part of a playset, like a slide kind of deal. My kid fell off of it, hit his head on every single thing that you put your foot on, all the way down. I jumped off of my second story deck as fast as I could. He was fine in 5 minutes because he's 2 years old.
Padded lawns.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Make everything AstroTurf.
Make your entire lawn like a ball pit.
I think that would be worse somehow.
Kind of neat, right?
I think that's the new thing now. They make those trampoline centers where they also have, like, the foam ball pits. That's, you have to pay, like, $40 for a half an hour to jump in it.
I'm willing to bet if you filled your lawn with those little foam balls, within a month, your entire area would just stink like a goddamn overflowing river.
Anchor thinks that all the pedophiles have trampolines in their backyard to try to lure the injured kids in.
Oh, so they break their legs and they can't run.
Oh, you want to come in? I can get you a Band-Aid.
I don't think you get Band-Aids from trampolines. You get, like, broken bones and, like,
yeah, but they don't know that. They're
cartilage.
Young and impressionable.
The problem with my area is that my yard, I think I have, like, a lot of wildlife. So I think in my ball pit, you would get a surprise, like a woodchuck gnawing at your foot or a fox trying to bite you in the balls.
You have woodchucks and foxes out by your house?
Yes, I do.
Leads me to my raccoon story, guys. Napier's typically the guy with the raccoons. Not this time, it's me.
You have raccoons?
So we got raccoons that get into my garbage cans, but I put the bungee cords on it, so now they can't. So now they're just dickheads. Now they're just, I mean, like, one thing, they were eating my garbage. That's what raccoons do. I don't get mad at the raccoons for eating my garbage, because that's what raccoons do. They're doing raccoon stuff. I mean, you can't get mad at a raccoon for doing raccoon.
Now that you bungee corded your garbage together, did that raccoon, like, assemble, like, a crowd of raccoons who have painted their faces and now carry spears and, like, flaming torches because they're pissed that they can't get to what's rightfully theirs?
Well, kind of, Travis. It's similar to that. So we went to we've been doing some remodeling on the outside of the house, trying to make our house not look nasty. We don't want to be those neighbors, you know? We want our house to look better.
Yeah, you have enough of those neighbors right now.
Right. So we've been doing some work outside. We go to the Home Depot. We're getting some landscaping, and then they got their trees on sale. So Laura gets this ficus tree, and she says, "Oh, dude, this ficus tree was normally $50, marked down to $5. I must own this ficus tree." buys a ficus tree. We put the ficus tree in a pot out on the front porch. Looks good. Got a ficus tree out front. That's fine. So a couple days later, we go back to get some more mulch, and they got another ficus tree for $5. She goes, how can we turn down a second ficus tree, Mike? We can't. This ficus tree was normally $50 on sale for $5. So we got a second ficus tree.
What are you doing with two ficus trees?
Napier, we put the second ficus tree out on the deck, right?
Yeah.
So around this time, we start bungee cording our trash cans closed, keep the raccoons from eating our garbage. Because they take the garbage out of the trash can and they spread it all over the lawn. It looks crappy. We're like, look, you can eat our garbage in our garbage can, but you start getting stuff all over our lawn, that's where we got to draw the line. We don't want to pick up your food remnants every morning. It's unsightly.
So unsanitary is
what it is. These raccoons are dicks. And they decide, well, fuck this guy. So every night, for four straight nights, they walked up the stairs to our deck and just pushed over the ficus tree. Now, I Googled it. Raccoons don't eat trees, Napier.
No, they don't.
Raccoons don't give a fuck about trees. When I would go out there in the morning, the ficus tree was fine. They just knocked it over to be dicks. And so, I mean, like...
Well, you took their food away.
Yeah. They're revolting. They're mad. So, I mean, like, you know, we would hear a loud bang and we'd go look out the window and the goddamn raccoons are out there. So we run out there and scare them off. They run down the stairs, come back later, knock the damn tree over again. They're insisting that fuck that ficus tree. I'm knocking it over.
Maybe you should unbungee cord their food and they'll stop doing it.
So what I did is I went and bought a way heavier pot to put the ficus tree in. So now they can't knock it over. They can climb it, I guess, if they want. They can't get too high. Actually, if they get up there, it'll probably snap off and they'll fall off the deck. But that's their fucking problem.
Would you like to take a phone call, Mike?
Sure.
Here you go.
Hello, welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. Who do we have?
This is Drunker STL on the Twitter.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, long-lost co-host, Drunkard STL, on the Twitters, drunk.
Don't worry about it. I hung up already.
Oh, you did? Drunk, how have you been, buddy?
I'm very well. On yourself?
I'm doing okay. Are you still at work?
I am still at work. Yes, sir.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you called because we haven't had a drunk update in a while.
Absolutely. It's all good.
Drunk, we heard a rumor on our 200th episode. Go ahead.
Yeah, what's the rumor?
We heard that...
I just saw Jurassic World kick some ass. That's all I was going to say. So.
Well, thanks for pointing out that four-week-old news, Drunk.
You know what pisses me off? Drunk's calling now. We didn't have him for a Napier's sexy story time for the ladies with the Terminator Genesis that he was so insistent on picking.
We were seriously considering doing Terminator Genesis erotic fan fiction, Drunk. But we figured, how can we do that with no Drunk here? Maybe for the Blu-ray release. What do you think?
Yeah, you guys are thoughtful individuals. I appreciate that.
So we heard this rumor on our 200th episode, Paul was here, that you have been seeing someone.
I have.
What are you seeing in them?
Himself.
Is that your question?
Yep.
I have been seeing a lady, yes, that is accurate.
How long has that been going on?
I guess we started talking about March or so.
So as soon as he was done with the show, that's when he started getting involved with a lady.
Did you tell her about your secret life as a podcast celebrity?
Well, I mean, I was talking to her before I left, and she had heard a couple episodes before that. So.
And it wasn't until you decided to stop doing the show that you guys got serious.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, we're not wanted.
What? Get out of here. I called tonight.
To gloat.
So, just call and let you know I'm getting some strange. All right, bye.
Don't need you fuckers. Peace.
Well, we did give him shit about not banging that hooker. I mean, that lady that does sexy videos.
The woman of the night?
Yeah, with the eyes that didn't look too good.
Maybe that's what did it, though. Do you ever think about that as, like, drunk turned down ladies of the night?
Anchor has a good line in chat. So technically, drunk nailed a listener. She had listened to a few shows.
No. No, I was listening while we were still speaking.
You know what that means, Mike? Drunk is literally fucking 1/10 of our audience. If we were more popular, that'd be a better number.
So, Drunk, I've gotten a lot of people who have asked me when you're coming back. There was a groundswell of Drunk support.
Like two?
Yeah. But, you know, I'm saying that it was unusual for the amount of interactions I normally have. A lot of them were about you for some reason, is what I'm saying. So, I mean, it still wasn't a lot by most people's standards, but for ours, it was a lot.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Was it more than either Paul or Jeffy?
No, neither of them. Nobody said anything about them being gone.
But as soon as I leave, hey, when's Drunk coming back?
But there's, in the chat, we're getting it right now. When is Drunk coming back? That's the question on everyone's mind. Drunk, when are you coming back?
The answer is hopefully mid-September.
Mid-September, the return of Drunk. How are we going to celebrate, Napier?
With a doorbell music halfway through the show.
Drunk.
Oh,
I'm gonna say this is a shoot. This isn't a work. This is outside of kayfabe right now. I miss you,
okay.
Drunk. I do. I miss having you here.
Do you?
I do. I didn't think I would. I thought the show would get way better without you here, but it's not as much fun without you here. So.
Right. To the table.
No, Drunk, that's legitimate. Well, because we did a podcast recording yesterday, and before we all hung up on each other, Mike said, you know what, I really kind of miss Drunk. He said he might come back, and I'm kind of really excited for that. So that's completely legitimate. He misses you.
Yeah, you guys are sweet. I miss you guys too.
Do you think that
I
you're
cannot wait to come back.
Do you think that you're going to be different now that, you know, you're seeing someone?
It's possible.
Like
yes.
It'll be like a totally different Drunk. Like he'll come up with come in with like relationship stories.
Hey, Drunk's Relationship Corner. That's a great idea for a segment.
Like Drunk can give relationship advice now that he's in the relationship world.
Can 2/3 of it just be smashing pussy on concrete?
And then the other 3rd is just smoke the problems away.
Oh,
that's
all. Boy.
That's very legitimate advice, by the way.
Drunk, who are you? Who are you rooting for in the Stone Cold Steve Austin Rowdy Roddy Piper podcast beef?
Well, I didn't know there was a beef, but now that I do, I would probably say Stone Cold Steve Austin.
You know he beats wives, right?
Steve Austin?
I mean,
one time.
Don't all professional athletes beat wives? Is that kind of a thing nowadays?
You know, remember?
Now, OJ say allegedly? Like, is that proven? Is that a real thing? Did he really beat his wife? I don't remember hearing that.
Yes, he beat his wife. That's why that was his fall from grace. He beat his wife.
It was probably a WWE made up storyline.
That was like the OJ thing where he didn't really kill his wife and her lover. It was made up by the National Football League.
Oh, like when he came out with a gun and had Vince McMahon hostage. Like that probably wasn't a real gun. Is that what you're saying?
Right, exactly. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Yeah, was that you or me?
No, we're just not going to reference it, Drunk, that you got cut off and came back. I mean, it worked out, so let's just not talk about it. We're doing a live show right now.
That's how we do it now, baby. We've gotten professional. You've been gone too long.
We've gone legit.
If you like it, I love it.
So mid-September, everyone, look for the return of Drunkard STL on the Twitters. If you were looking for breathing into the microphone and coming halfway through the show and asking what we talked about in the first half.
Sometimes you hear a Coca-Cola opening mid-show.
And thumping on the table and all of the unprofessional antics typical of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. Look forward to that coming soon, everyone. We're so excited about it. Drunk, I cannot wait to put things in your mouth again.
Me neither.
You are missed, my friend.
We have no
Absolutely.
Wolverine.
I miss you guys. It's great talking to you guys.
I'm very happy that you called in tonight, Drunk.
Go back to work, you bastard.
Thank you. Will do.
Bye.
Did one of his employees just, like, catch
him? You're supposed to be working right now. We got a problem. Everything's melting down. Josiah's lost a foot.
Shop soup. We got a problem down here.
Where's Ryan? Oh, my God. Is he taking phone calls? Who can Aaron be calling him at this hour? Aaron has run into Josiah.
Josiah's lost a finger. He's lost a finger. We can't find it.
I think he did it on purpose.
I didn't want to say anything, but it smells like alcohol.
Josiah's shouting something about the gays.
Now how will he play piano?
Get out here and mediate!
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Woo!
Guys.
Let's take a break.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll be back in mere moments with Philip Cohen of the band Black Daughter, who has a Kickstarter you can donate to fund their new album. All the details are at blackdaughtermusic.com. Give us 2 minutes, guys. We will be right back. Thank you for being here. Great chat tonight. Everybody, thank you for showing up. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Analog Heart, and you are listening to StrangeLabel.com.
Uncensored, unadulterated, unintelligible, sonic blasphemy, alcohol-fueled geek metal mayhem, Wednesday, 6-5 Central on Strange Label Radio. The most brutal 90 minutes on internet radio. Nothing is left sacred.
Oh, Mary, don't you close the door. Another battle in a one-man war. Because strangers in this changing land have all forgotten how to sing. I don't mind your common love. Pick all the pieces up above. Goodbye, Cambridge.
Hello, welcome back. Phone number to contact show 636-487-HAND. We are waiting for Travis and Napier and Phil. But guys, I'm here. So, I mean, that's good, right? By the way, the fella who did the Stone Cold Steve Austin intro is faux_Philly on Twitter. He has a website there. Check that out. Tell him you heard him here. That was pretty good. Yeah. It was nice of him to do for us. I wrote a goofy bit and seeked him out. And so, yeah. I guess I will just go ahead and tell everybody about what's going on in the Hollywood Fantasy League. Minions, which was Sonic Blasphemy's pick, had $217 million, had a 56% Metacritic. So, 217... times the 56 is 122 points for Sonic Blasphemy. So they have 179 points with the movie Mastermind still to go. So they have... I have a pretty bad feeling that Sonic Blasphemy might be the one going away. Because even though the Lotus cast missed out on a movie altogether... The Peter Pan movie got pushed back a couple of months. They have... Ant-Man and Trainwreck, which both opened this week, left, and they need those two movies to make as much as Masterminds. So, I think Lotus Cast is probably going to beat Sonic Blasphemy, and I don't think the Furnacast is going to catch us. I think we might be the winners.
Ooh.
Well,
what piece of shit was Mastermind?
Masterminds has a. Kristen Wiig and Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, yes, of course. That movie that nobody...
So, I mean, it'll make some money, but I don't think that it'll be the success that Sonic Blasphemy needs to get out of the basement. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think as far as the basement goes, I think that's where they're just going to be. And you know, that's fine. Somebody has to lose... But
as
the
long
question
as
we
us.
Have to start asking ourselves is, who's going to be in the next one? Because we're kicking people out now.
You know who I think should be in the next one?
Who's that?
Black Daughter. Let's ask them if they'd like to join.
Phil, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. What's up, guys?
Oh, not a lot, man. How are you?
Great. Living the dream here in good old Boston.
That's where you're at? You were in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, we just did a big recording project at the Killer Studio right in Vegas. That was a few weeks back, and yep, now we're here in snowy Boston.
So that's their studio. Is that like at one of their houses or something? Or
No, it's actually it's an autonomous studio. It's in like kind of the most nondescript location ever.
So it's a secret.
It's like totally part of this like strip mall. So you would really never guess that like some important band studio.
So it's like
there.
Like barbershop, really pawn cheap. Shop, recording studio.
Yeah, totally. So it was a really cool experience, and it was kind of like a dream come true, of course, because. You know, of course, not many people get a chance to record at a studio like that and have the opportunity to be affiliated with a great band like the Killers. So we've really been living it up and not taking one second of this for granted.
So, like, is that an invite thing? They invited you, or do you like ask them and they accept you? Or?
Yeah, we were invited. So we met the Killers probably about a year ago, and, you know, of course, talked a lot of music with them and what have you. And,
now, is that through your solo project?
So I didn't actually meet them through the solo project, though, you know, I'm a super active musician on the Boston scene and out in the Northeast, but... I actually have a company as well. It's a very fast growing software company called Audio Common. We're in the music industry as well. So we met the Killers through the company Audio Common, and our friendship really blossomed out of that. So it was really I don't know. It was an interesting turn of events all around.
Do you think that you could introduce a podcast out of the Midwest that would also like to use their studio to get better sound quality?
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, just put in a good word for us. That'd be great.
Right, absolutely. Hey, before we go any further, I want to let you know I love the show. I have listened before. It's super cool. You guys are doing something really unique. And
Phil, is that true or is that
just
something
you're saying?
Are you
lying, Phil?
I'm not bullshitting.
I mean, it's okay if you're lying, Phil. Nobody listens to this show. We tricked you, Phil. You're not promoting this to anyone. We're just doing this in our basement. We're not even putting it on the internet. We just wanted to talk to you. We thought it'd be neat.
I love it. No, your show is really cool. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Now, I noticed something that stood out to me on your Kickstarter account. And now, when I thought of asking you about this, I also took into account that I probably know the answer and it's probably going to go nowhere. So I just saw
those are the best questions, Mike.
Yeah. That was great of me to qualify the whole thing. So now it's built up. So now Wilco just released their album for free. They just put it up on the internet and said, "Hey, here's our new album. You can download it for free."
Right.
And people are like mad that they did that because they feel it's like devaluing music. And right. it's just out there in the world and anybody can have it. And so now independent artists who are trying to sell their music look like assholes because it's like, well, if Wilco's given their album out to us for free, why aren't you? Right. And I saw on your Kickstarter that you guys aren't planning to actually print physical albums. Is that just not like a thing that matters anymore?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and it's a great observation you made. And that is the truth. We're doing a limited run disc and potentially even vinyl for our Kickstarter supporters. So people are going to get a real exclusive thing when they sign up and they join our journey and all that kind of stuff via Kickstarter. But overall, we're planning to do full digital releases. So yeah, I mean, for me, I'm a big fan of vinyl and, you know, real albums and liner notes and all that kind of stuff. But let's face it, in the 21st century, the music industry is morphing and changing every single day. And we as artists are trying to find new and interesting ways of engaging the public and getting people involved in our musical journeys and all that kind of stuff. And oftentimes that doesn't really include a physical component. So we're really playing around with what it means to release music on a number of different levels, and we're going to be doing very interesting things as far as the release of our record that we just finished recording in Vegas. So stay tuned. We're going to do interesting, very unique mobile releases and some other cool digital packages for our fans.
So Phil, if I come to one of your shows and I enjoy the music, right? And maybe a buddy of mine brought me to the show. I wasn't familiar with you and I'm like, I really like this. And I would like to interact with these guys. Do I bring my iPod to you to sign? Like, what do you? Are you going to offer albums at your shows at least?
If you still have an iPod, yes, I absolutely would sign it.
I do still have one. It's 160 gigs, and I love it.
Nice, very cool.
What's the deal, Travis? You still use an iPod?
An iPod? Yeah, I I haven't heard that.
What
in
is
years.
This? 2008?
Sons of bitches! I love my iPod.
But yeah, actually, I mean, you got me. At our live shows and what have you, of course, we're going to have merch and all that kind of stuff. So you're going to be able to get kind of more of those limited release type items that maybe you won't be able to get online.
Like, I hope beer
so,
koozies?
In all seriousness, like, I've been to shows of bands that I actually am, you know, very familiar with, and I do own their digital albums. But I will purchase that physical media just to have those signatures of the band on there. I mean, and it's more of a collector's thing for me. Like, I like, hey, here's this thing that I'm holding on to, and I have the signatures on there. And it kind of, you know, it's a throwback to the memory of meeting everybody rather than just the music itself.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a great point, and that's something that's real near and dear to us. I mean, even though we are going to be doing this mostly digital for a number of reasons, there is a ton of value still in that physical media. And of course, for people like us, real music lovers and music creators, there's always a home for that stuff. I mean, I don't know. Not a week goes by where I'm not kind of paging through liner notes and all that kind of stuff. And
well, I just feel like that like legitimizes you. Like you have a real CD, and you're not just some, you know, jabroni making music and putting it out on SoundCloud.
I mean, you're not these guys
recorded at the Killer Studio. You should have a CD.
I know. Well, I appreciate that, but I mean, I agree with a part of that. Another part of me says that. It's a very interesting time for the music industry. So we as artists and as innovators ourselves and entrepreneurs, it's very important for us to kind of, to use the old cliche, push the envelope and try to figure out new formats that are going to engage the public, music lovers, all that kind of stuff. And even though the album as kind of a collection of work still has a lot of value to the real hardcore music lovers, a lot of people are really waiting for the next thing to blossom out here with regard to kind of the next album format, whatever that may be. And we think there's a lot of interesting, innovative stuff that we can do in that arena with regard to kind of, for example, slow leaking of content. So as opposed to just kind of dropping an album on one date, kind of pushing out a single here and then another single maybe a month down the road, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that at the end of the year you kind of see the full collection. And a lot of artists are really doing that already. But once again, love the physical album, all that kind of stuff. People are going to be able to get that in a couple of different ways for Black Daughter. But the industry is changing, and we're trying to be innovative with the new industry.
I like to ask this of everybody that we talk to as musicians. Do you feel like the storytelling aspect of an album is dead? Do you feel like it's more of the, you know, the 2 to 3 minute song is what's really trying to convey the message? Or do you still feel like there's value in, you know, the 10, 11 songs putting together a whole narrative?
Yeah, I mean, some of my favorite albums are definitely that whole narrative. I mean, think of the Who's Tommy, which was a big one for me. And of course, you know, talking about the Killers, Sam's Town, kind of full collections of songs that mean something together. I don't think that's dead. I just think we're in an interesting time in the music industry where people are trying to figure out kind of these new interesting models and innovate and do cool, unique things. And I think that's actually exciting. So over the next couple of years, I mean, music has changed over the past 10 years in a drastic way. But over the next couple of years, I think we're going to see even more creative formats coming out. And that's very exciting to me. So I don't think that's dead by any means. And we certainly as a band try to do a bit of that. And I think you will see that on this album. There definitely are some very important underlying themes that go throughout all of our songs. But once again, the industry is changing and doing crazy things.
So, Phil, you go and you perform live. You go out on stage. You plug in your guitar. You're ready to go out there. What do you do with your wallet? Like, do you carry your wallet with you when you go out there? Do you leave it backstage? Do you put it on the amp? Where's your wallet at?
This is Mike's favorite question, and he's neglected to ask it of the last, like, half a dozen guests.
No way. It's really interesting you ask this one, because the majority of the time, I take my wallet out of my back pocket and I put it in my guitar case. But multiple people have told me that can be very dangerous, depending on the venue, because it's not very secure, all that kind of stuff. But It's definitely out of the back pocket and in the guitar case. I love the question, by the way.
I don't think anybody yet has said my wallet is on me when I go out there. I think everybody takes their wallet out of their pocket. They clear their pockets of all things. I guess you got to keep a sleek physique. You can't have any bulges in weird places.
Well, I appreciate the occasional bulge, but you know, oftentimes you're like, maybe you're jumping down into the audience or something like that.
Somebody's going to grab it.
Yeah. You got to be careful with all that. Or you're kind of jumping around the stage. You just don't want any fire hazards occurring, I guess.
So, Phil, I was told that there was a possibility that you might be willing to play a song. We're doing this over Skype. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I...
Wow. Yeah.
Do you want to give it a shot?
Yeah, I guess I'd love to. I do have a guitar close at hand somewhere.
What could possibly go wrong, Napier? I mean, doing it over Skype, I'm sure it'll sound great, right?
Or it won't.
You should see my shitty little microphone here. Well, this really will be an experiment.
Hey, you sound great, by the way. So, I mean, he sounds way
better than Travis. I'm thinking about asking him just to co-host the show.
That's fine.
Yeah, but I'd love to play you some of our new stuff. This I don't think anyone's really heard a version of this in full yet. Well, actually, we released a kind of a secret demo early on, and then we retracted it as we were going into the studio. But would love to play one of our new songs.
All right, we're gonna both mute to clear the air.
All righty, cool. This song's called "Hello, Operator."
Sunday morning, break your bread. I've been burning down the back street with no cover overhead. Time for what the
Holy shit!
That's great.
Clap. Clapping for that. That was fantastic.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
That was so good.
BlackDaughterMusic.com, at Daughter Black on Twitter. They have a Kickstarter still going on for the next 6 days-ish.
Yes.
Now, the Kickstarter thing, that's really just kind of to say, hey, this is a thing. You guys should check it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, our biggest thing with regard to the Kickstarter is to get people involved in us early on. So actually, this whole band is very, very new. Even though I've done the solo project in the past, and we have some very experienced artists in the band and all that kind of stuff, Black Daughter itself is super new, and that's what's so exciting about this to me, and I think to other people as well. And everyone really has the opportunity to get involved super early with us and to kind of, you know, watch us as hopefully we grow and do very well and all that kind of stuff. We have kind of, you know, a lot of the right people behind us and the team at play and all that kind of stuff. So I think the timing is really, really right for us to make kind of a big splash on the music scene. So we want to give people the opportunity to get involved early, and I think the Kickstarter is that outlet.
Well, you have some new fans in the chat, it looks like. Our listeners don't like anything, so you must have done a good job, because usually they're just in the chat bitching about listening to this. So,
and I mean, you performing over Skype is any indicator of the quality of the band. That's amazing. That was great. Oh. Thank you very much.
Oh, man. Hey, that means a lot to me, guys. Thanks so much. And once again, thanks so much for having me on the program.
No problem, Phil. Thank you for coming. We'll have you on again sometime and do something else.
Please do. Anytime. I'd love to be back.
Sweet. Thanks, Phil. Thank you so much. Have a good night, buddy.
Thank you, guys. The pleasure was mine. Have a great night.
Travis, that was great.
That was awesome. That was fucking amazing. Like, I listened to some of their stuff, like, on the Kickstarter, and I enjoyed it.
That... Look at Liquid Lozenge in the chat. This podcast was shit until that song. Phil saved the show, guys!
That was so good. Like I said, I listened to some of their music and I really did enjoy it. That guy is fucking talented.
Oh,
I love that song. That was so good.
The people listening should know that our Skype is being run through an Acer Aspire 1 netbook with 1 gig of RAM.
That's after it's being run through my HP. You know,
right,
through
yeah.
You.
Yeah. Considering the low-tech technology that we just listened to that through, that was great.
That was amazing. Like I had a smile on my face the whole time he was playing that song. We were muted, and I was just very excited. That was a great song.
I'm sweaty now. I'm just letting you guys know that.
Well, Napier.
Oh, boy. We don't usually show joy on this show.
Yeah, I know. What's like, with us? We're feel... softening, Travis.
Like, I feel like that was that brought legitimate
Napier,
joy out of us.
Start some beef with Phil Cohen of Black Daughter.
I don't want to. I like the song. How about you get somebody on here that I don't like?
The big news this week, moving on. I mean, we could just gush all night, or we could do a show, guys. Compose yourselves. We got to get back to doing the Dick Show.
I'll probably spend the rest of the week gushing over Phil and how I want to be his friend.
Matt in the chat was asking me if I could book him on the Lotus Cast. I forgot to ask.
No!
He's a Boston guy. He could probably drive to Lotus Cast Studios,
bullshit.
I would imagine.
Phil is ours.
I wanted to talk about Ashley Madison. Did you hear the big news about AshleyMadison.com?
I don't know who that is.
You don't know what AshleyMadison.com? It is the
biggest... you are a member.
It is the second biggest dating site on the internet. And it is strictly... people who are already married. There are 37 million active users in 48 countries that go to AshleyMadison.com to have discreet affairs with other married people.
Well, I love my wife, so I guess that's why I haven't heard of it.
You don't have to be lonely with AshleyMadison.com.
So the way that this works, and this is interesting, men buy credits to cash in for introductions to women.
What?
So So, I mean, like, I guess you don't pay a membership, but you buy, like, credits that you can then cash in, like you put a quarter in the jukebox to hear a Steve Miller song.
No.
No, it's for both, but the men are the ones that pay. Women
yeah, right.
go on there to get some dong, but the guys come to them. But anyway, all of their 37 million users' information apparently was compromised by hackers. And so all of these troubled marriages that have infidelity in them, they probably should be over anyway, but now there's an even stronger likelihood that they will because their information might get leaked.
Can I
guess they're probably not going to, like, email your spouse. I guess there'll just maybe be, like a document
database full of users.
I'm willing to bet more than likely you might find some credit card statements on there that you don't know about.
Dan is saying. I hope this is true. He keeps saying creds. They're called creds.
Why does he know about
I don't know.
Them?
He's insisting that we call them creds.
He's the one that turned me onto the site, so I mean, I would think that he would know what he was talking about.
So you're saying this website is not going to put ads on national TV about their services?
They put ads all over TV. They're all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
You've never seen an ad? I see them all the time.
Watch Comedy Central after
it's like
12:30.
Life Short, Have an Affair, I think is their tagline.
Wow, really?
Is gals that's doing the hushy thing with the finger up to the lips?
Can I give you a really quick hack? Before this even happened, you could find out if your spouse was cheating on you on AshleyMadison.com.
Ooh.
All you had to do is go on to the website and try to log on, but log on incorrectly, obviously. So when you log on incorrectly, they give you an option, right? And they say, did you forget your password? And you say, yes, I did. And if you put in an email address that's not in their database, it will prompt you to say, this email address is not in our database. But if you put an email address in that is in their database, it will say, your credentials are being emailed to the database to the email that we have on file.
So you'd have to have like a Gmail just for that.
Yeah, all you have to do is if you know your spouse's email address, you just put that into AshleyMadison.com, and if it recognizes her email or his email address, it will say, we have emailed you login details.
There's so many good lines in chat, I just want to read all of them. Liquid Lozenges says that it's free to make an account, but then they charge you $25 to delete your account. I don't know if that's a joke or if that's true, but either way, it's funny.
Whatever happened to going to bars, getting drunk, and picking up chicks?
It's a lot easier to do with the internet.
Yeah, but then you got them following you around and stuff. And then this is like, hey, we both got plenty to lose. It's a good idea, I guess, but it was bound for something like this to happen. And
I have a guy that I work with that just discovered there was a thing called Tinder. He had no idea that existed before.
Can you believe that Napier didn't already know about Ashley Madison? That seems like something that everybody already knows about. I mean, it's the second biggest dating site in the world.
Well, I don't look for dating sites.
But yeah, never mind.
I also don't go to Christian Mingle either.
But you know it exists.
Of course, there's ads all over the goddamn place for it.
To find out if your spouse is cheating on you, just smell their genitals when they come home late. It's a pretty good line, too. Good lines in chat tonight. I appreciate the chat turnout, guys. I have one other news story.
I'd like to know
what
that is, Mike.
I would like to point out, if you're listening live, there is a show that was posted today that will be officially released tonight that you can download. It is a second show.
It's a bonus set.
We are double-dicking this week. So if you're listening to this on podcast, we already released an episode this week, guys. We're double-dicking this week.
You guys, it's a supply and demand thing. You demanded. We supplied.
And the thing about it is we decided there's been several times that we've done live shows where we have played pre-recorded interviews like in a break.
No longer.
And we decided, why would we be wasting our live time sitting around listening to ourselves when we could just record a little bit at the beginning and a little bit at the end and
Napier
release
said,
a second episode.
Napier said, stop the madness, bonus episode.
I mean, Napier doesn't want to sit here and listen to himself talk for 20 minutes while we
I
got
can
a,
do that.
We got a chat room full of people wanting to hear us do a live
no,
show.
No, he's got a wife he's got to tote around all over town.
Right!
And she's a pretty wife.
So, guys, download both shows this week. That's all I'm saying.
Please listen to the podcast. It was really good.
We had Dunstan Bruce of the band Chumbawamba on the show.
He was great. I really liked him.
Travis,
we kind of cut that a little short than what we should have.
Two good interviews this week.
Yeah. What's happening to us?
Like, I don't know.
We are interested in people we have on, and I mean, they are interesting people.
Guys, not tooting my own horn here. But toot, toot, toot.
Let me toot it a little bit.
Hold on, Mike. Slap yourself on the back.
No. Let's hear Travis give it a little toot.
Okay.
Toot. So some guy died in Demi Moore's pool.
Thank God.
Last night. His,
Is that a euphemism for a pussy?
She wasn't home. She was on vacation. Nobody.
Because she's so old, right?
Say what you will. Demi Moore still looks pretty damn
she's
good.
She's fucking hot.
Still. Have you seen her vagina?
She still looks pretty good. I mean,
I would like to.
Ashton Kutcher guy, I mean, he did trade up.
Oh, I bet he wrecked that.
He went and got that Mila Kunis.
Good for him.
I mean, that's a pretty good. I mean, that's a decent trade because it's only a matter of time. I mean, Demi Moore's going to hit the wall more soon.
He could have had that originally, but he decided to go with Bruce Willis's wife.
I bet he wrecked that like a rental house. Just tore the whole place up. Not got his security deposit back.
Do you think
back.
She's gone through the change yet?
Yeah,
she's 50 plus. Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, you got a finite number of. Times that's going to happen, and then it don't no more.
I mean, is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, like, for what you want it for.
I don't know. Has your pussy ever bled?
No.
Then I guess you take it as you go. I mean, she's already got kids.
It's not a pleasant transition for ladies, though.
No.
It's not. I think
some
it's like
guy
a weird panic attack-y
kind of thing. Died in Demi Moore's pool.
That's right. We were talking about death. Why are we talking about pussy?
She was not home. Nobody in her family was home. Apparently, her caretaker had
Had a... I didn't know that. Now I feel like a shithead talking about her poon. You guys didn't tell me. Now I'm an asshole in front of our new friend.
That's like two good Napier lines tonight. Really quality. Good job.
So, guys, Demi Moore's caretaker had a pool party.
I can't get over that.
I can't even. Demi Moore's
house. Don't call her caretaker.
Stop saying that. Call her assistant.
Her maid.
The house sitter.
The house sitter.
The guy that takes care of Demi Moore's house when she's gone.
When you say it like that, it's like the guy is like changing her shit diapers. You can't call her her caretaker. Holy fuck.
So Demi Moore's assistant.
Yeah.
So there's this guy, right? And his job is, when Demi Moore is making a movie or on vacation or otherwise not home, he makes sure her house looks all right when she gets back.
Is Rumor Willis and the other daughters, they're old enough to not live there?
I would imagine, right?
Probably by now, yeah.
Yeah, I would suppose. You're probably right.
And he had a party at Demi Moore's house. I don't know if she's cool with that or not. If she's mad or...
She's like, going to
if
deny
it. Was an
it
authorized party or not. But anyway, some guy fell in the pool... And I guess everybody was having such a good time, they didn't notice the guy fell in the pool, and he drowned. So there's a dead guy in the pool.
Party! Yeah!
And that's that's really all there was to that story.
So was she off making G.I. Jane 2 for $300? Because when's the last time Demi Moore was in a movie?
That's not very nice, Travis.
No, she does. She does don't charitable care. Work. She does. I mean, she's not just doing movies. I mean,
is she like Sarah McLachlan, where she's like looking out for the sad puppies?
Oh no, she actually has money and a career.
What else we got? Is there anything of note that you would like to get off your chest, or are we done? Because I'm fine with being done.
Well, I gotta tell you that I had some stuff, but it was all blown away by Phil's song. Like, I don't have anything else.
Yeah, now we can't be spiteful, mean jackasses.
No, I'm smitten. Yeah. Like, I did have some nasty shit, but I can't even remember what it was. I'm smitten by that song that he played.
Yeah, I have a band to Google when I get home.
Tomorrow night on StrangeLabel.com is Not Safe for Water Coolers 100th episode.
Excellent.
So be sure to tune in for that. I think they're going to get sloppy drunk. And Wednesday's the Chris Break Show. Chris told me today that they're going to have a pirate on, like a real pirate, not like a guy who steals stuff off the internet. A lot of great stuff coming up.
Like he goes to birthday parties and is a pirate, or he actually has a speedboat and shoots at those party boats and takes their shit.
Yeah, like goes in and like pillages and stuff. You know, does like the pirate thing.
Oh, like why Captain Phillips is enemies.
Travis, why don't we have any pirates? Get me a pirate.
We do have pirates. They're in Somalia.
No, I want a pirate. I'm jealous of the Chris Break Show.
Arrgh!
We don't have...
I'm stealing all the booty. That guy? You want that guy?
We don't have pirates because we have a country that has money.
I think Travis is doing a pirate character.
No.
Pirate is that your new character, Travis? Pirate yep. Travis?
Yep. That's one of my more famous characters is Pirate Phil. Pirate Bill?
Pirate Bill?
Pirate John.
Pirate Larry?
He's yep. a pirate with a
so a pirate Larry. Gold. You got a gold chest over there.
Well, I'd like a golden chest. I like the booty, though. You know the booty. I'm an ass man, not a breast man, not a heart of gold, but an ass of gold.
He's a brown pirate.
You're a brown pirate?
I like the booty.
That's all you got, isn't it?
Yep.
You couldn't even Johnny Depp it up for us. Man.
That's it. That's just...
That's all there is. Yeah.
And see, what Travis is hoping is that one of us is going to bail him out.
No, we're going to let this keep going.
I'm talking about pirates.
But we're just going to...
I'm a big fan of the booty. I'm sorry, I've been drinking a lot of the Captain's Gold, the Captain Morgan. He was my captain, he fell overboard. I'm a big fan of the booty. Can't stop. Please continue.
Well, that's my mama.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can hear us live every Monday night at 9, 8 central on StrangeLabel.com. You can download all of our past episodes as well as other goodies at WFODix.com. Pull up our show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the TuneIn app. And follow us on Twitter at WFODix. You can also follow Travis at ProduceTravis or Drunk at DrunkardSTL. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Or you can give us a call when we're live or leave us a message that we may play later on. That phone number is 636-487-4263. Again, thank you for listening. We will see you back here next week.